So that is one. Now Rajyoga. The aim of Rajyoga, the instrument of Rajyoga, and the process of Rajyoga is to attain to perfection of mental powers, just as Hatha Yoga aims at perfection of the physical powers. Similarly, the aim of Raja Yoga is to develop perfection of mental powers. And there is a further aim. The discovery and realization of the immobile individual, the immobile, unmoving, steady, to discover the immobile individual distinguished from all that is mobile. In our normal experience, we see only that which is mobile. Even what is immobile, like matter, stone, even that is in some way mobile. Even the stone gradually becomes dust, maybe after thousands of years, because it is mobile, it is moving. As we know, every material piece consists of electrons and protons, which are in constant motion. Therefore, even the so-called stable things are really mobile. Now, Raja Yoga aims at discovery of the immobile individual. It's a discovery because normally you don't find anything immobile. So, it's a discovery. It's a discovery of the immobile individual, as distinguished from the mobile. That which is mobile is called nature. All nature is mobile, is moving. In Sanskrit, the word nature is called Prakriti, P-R-A-K-R-I-T-I. It's called Prakriti. The immobile individual is called in Sanskrit Purusha. One special attribute of Purusha is it is immobile. It may be also mobile, but it's also immobile. That's the important point. The way by which you can distinguish between Purusha and Prakriti is that while Prakriti is always mobile, Purusha is in any case immobile. Even though it may be mobile also, but it is also immobile. But according to Raja Yoga, Purusha is immobile only, it is never mobile. When you go further in integral yoga, you will find that Purusha also is mobile. But in Raja Yoga, Purusha is supposed to be entirely immobile and never mobile. So Raja Yoga gives you the realization of the immobile Purusha as distinguished from mobile Prakriti. And when this happens, when you discover the immobile Purusha, you have an experience of release. The teguments, the ties that you have with your body, with all that is mobile, they seem to be broken. The ties are supposed to be your bondage, the ropes of bondage by which you are tied. So according to Raja Yoga, the aim is to give the discovery of the individual immobile Purusha in an experience in which the individual feels that the teguments by which it was tied to the mobility vanishes. That is also called the experience of release. It is also called the experience of liberation. You feel liberated. Nothing touches you thereafter. Sorrow does not touch you. Happiness does not touch you. Relations don't touch you. Body does not touch you. Even when body is in pain, Purusha is experienced to be immobile. It's an extraordinary experience that you gain. So that is the aim. So aim is twofold. Perfection of the mental powers and release of the immobile Purusha from the ties with the mobile Prakriti. That is the aim. The mental powers of a Raja Yogi are tremendous. There is one full chapter given by Patanjali in his book on yoga, in which the powers of the mind are described. One of the powers of the mind is to know the language of the birds. According to Patanjali, birds have a language. And if you do practice of Raja Yoga, you can understand the language of the birds. You can know what is happening 30,000 kilometers away, and you can see the object very clearly regarding that object. These are extraordinary powers. Like Hatha Yoga had the powers of the body, in Raja Yoga, numerous powers of the mind can be described. There is a very interesting chapter in Collected Works of Vivekananda. I think if you can bring it, I'll be very happy. We shall read out. Swami Vivekananda has given lots of lectures, as you know. And one of the lectures was on powers of the mind. His encounter with a yogi, he has described, who had developed many powers of the mind. One of the experiences was, when he went to meet that yogi, Rajyogi, that yogi gave him a piece of paper, folded, and said, "Don't open it." So Vivekananda put that piece of paper in his pocket. Then there was a long talk. Afterwards, suddenly he said, "I can tell you what is in your mind. Think of an idea." So he thought of an idea, very difficult idea. And that in a language which Vivekananda thought this man would never know. Then he wrote down that sentence and gave it to the yogi. And the yogi said, "Now you open the piece of paper which I gave you when you came in." It was exactly the sentence which he wrote much after his coming into the room. And he said, "I had decided that you will think of this when I ask you to think." So this is an example given by Vivekananda of his own personal experience. It's not a fiction. This is the power of the mind. So Rajyoga can develop the powers of the mind, extraordinary powers of the mind. There is a special chapter in the Rajyoga, in the Patanjali's Yoga. It's called Yoga Sutra. Sutra means aphoristic expression. So there are collections of aphoristic expressions. In that book, there is a chapter called Vibhuti Pada. Vibhuti means extraordinary powers of the mind. So one day when you are interested, when you feel happy, you can open that chapter and read the various kinds of powers that can be developed by Rajyoga. So that is the aim of Rajyoga. Now the question is, what is the instrument? What is the instrument of Rajyoga? Just as in Hatha Yoga, the instrument was the body, similarly in Rajyoga, the instrument is the mind. So Rajyogis don't do all kinds of asanas, excepting one or two very small asanas. But Rajyogis only concentrate upon the mind. Mind is the instrument. The conquest of the mind. What is the process? The process is a gradual movement of the mind by which it attains to concentration. In the state of stillness, this is the process. The mind is used for developing a capacity of concentration to such a degree that in the state of concentration is a complete stillness. Complete silence of the mind. This is the process. gradual process, gradual movement,